Today is Saturday, the 2nd of September 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 97th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium, conducted by Nisarnarvane Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, representing Nisarnarvane Forest Monastery, participating in today's session. And we would like to welcome Bhante with great respect to this session. And also, I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and also through the live stream over the Facebook page of the Satipatthasala Foundation's account. This program will run commencing with in-session mindfulness practice to aid you in gaining a direct in-session experience in mindfulness practice. And then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today, which will be followed by a question and answer session where we present the reports received for today's session, and we will be witnessing Bhante's advice on that, on those reports. So to commence things, I would like to invite Bhante with much respect to commence with the in-session practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So today, to start the program, let's do a mindful walking session. So for this, you need to find some space where you can walk without difficulty. When you have that space, make sure that there are no obstacles, and then you can start walking. You walk in a comfortable manner, and we try to pay attention. We try to be present with the walking. That's what we are going to do. We walk in a comfortable manner, and we are going to be present with the walking. Initially, you might not notice much, but when you continue for a while, you might notice that your body is walking, and various bodily sensations might appear. For example, you might feel that your heel is touching the ground, or maybe the toes are touching, and you may feel the texture of the ground, the temperature of the ground. So these things you might notice. So that way we are going to be attentive and walk. When you walk, it's natural that your attention drifts away with various things, maybe surrounding sights or sounds. They might create stories, thinking mind. In addition, various thoughts, memories, future plans might come into your field of awareness. So these things come. We are not suppressing them. Instead, we try to be skillful during the process and slowly navigate our attention back to the walking. Again, notice how your body walks. Again, notice whether you feel the ground, whether you feel the left leg or the right leg touching the ground. So that way, again and again, we navigate back to the walking process. It's natural that your attention drifts away, but you have to be skillful in navigating back to the walking. So that's what we are going to do. We might take like 15 or so minutes, and we'll try to do a mindful walking session. So I invite all of you to start your walking practice. Okay, everyone, now you can return back to your seats. So that's about 15 minutes of mindful walking practice. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. With that, Namanta, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits for guiding us through that. And then we will have the talk on mindfulness for today, and the title is Pleasure Pain Principle. And I would like to invite Bhante to commence the talk scheduled for today. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Okay, we'll take some time to discuss about today's topic. So today we have a new topic starting for this month. So we have pain pleasure principle as the topic for this week, and maybe for next week as well. So when we talk about that topic, we can really relate that to our day-to-day life. Usually when we function, we do various things. We make choices. We deal with people in a certain way. So all these things we do based on one thing. If we think about it, usually we want to increase or create pleasure in our life. Then again, as a part of it, we want to reduce or get rid of pain in our life. So this is what we do. Usually we make choices, we do various things, we deal with certain people in a certain way to increase or create pleasure. In the other hand, we try to reduce or get rid of pain in our life. So this is how we make choices. This is how we deal with people. And again, you are in a struggle to increase or create pleasure as well as to reduce or get rid of pain. So that's how we do. Now think, when we think about the materialistic societies, this is what they try to do. They try to create pleasure. They try to increase pleasure. They are in a never-ending quest to increase pleasure. Today you get this type of a pleasure, tomorrow we'll give you much better. That's their promise. Then again, they want to get rid of pain or reduce pain. So entire industries are built around this. When you think about painkillers, various things, this is what we do. We take painkillers, even for a headache, we don't like it. Then whatever the difficulties we have to go through in our life, they say that we give you a much better choice. You can reduce pain or you can get rid of pain. So various surgeries are done, C-sections are done, whatever the things they provide to reduce or get rid of pain. So that's the modern world. That's where we live, right? Again and again, the pleasure is increased. Think about modern, new, like, let's say, 5-star, 7-star restaurants. They try to increase pleasure. They say not only a meal, we are offering music. We are offering pleasant views. We are offering wrapped in gold, right? So various options are there. You can spend a whole lot of money trying to increase pleasure. You feel like eating gold. Literally, you can eat gold now. With your food, you have the special priced one where you can eat gold. Right? So they try to increase pleasure in human life. That's what they do. Various new technologies come. New devices come. The aim is to increase pleasure. Whatever the pain you have in your life, they try to reduce it. They try to get rid of it. They try introduce various things, new medicines, new procedures, plastic surgeries. Various things are there. So this is how the world is. But the problem is that although they try, they end up getting pain again and again. They end up in the same vicious cycle again and again. Although the modern societies, these materialistic societies, although they made a promise, nowadays, more and more people, they realize that promise is broken. Especially with the recent pandemic, majority of the people, they felt, although we live in this new world, modern world, that promise is broken. More and more pain is there. People suicide. Suicide rates are increasing. Homicide rates are increasing. Various new illnesses are increasing. So more and more people, they start to realize that although they promised a paradise, that promise is not valid, that promise is broken. Again and again, the technologies they try. That's the highest level of technology we have in the entire human life. Still, they fail to provide everything. Still, they fail to get rid of pain. More and more people are drawn into mental illnesses. More and more, you can see the suicide rates are increasing. The drug usage, it is increasing. So that way, we can really see, although this modern world, it promised us a paradise. But that promise is broken. You can see, although they tried, they couldn't do it. You create paradise in a certain way, in one way, then from the other way, it's still hell. So you can see they are in a never-ending struggle. So how we can relate this practice in this topic into our practice? How we can relate it into mindfulness? And what is the idea about pain and pleasure when it comes to our practice? So that's interesting to discuss. Because in this new world, although they try to work through this pain-pleasure principle, although they try to maximize pleasure, although they try to minimize pain, they fail. That promise is broken. So we can see how can we relate this to our practice. Now, when it comes to mindfulness, we say waking up to the reality. That's the basic idea. Waking up to your present. Usually in our mind, we don't like the present moment. In a way, it is not interesting. The present moment, it is not interesting. So in our mind, we prefer avoiding the present moment. We prefer dwelling in the past. We prefer thinking about the future. Again and again, we avoid the present moment. That is the habitual nature of your mind. So when we say mindfulness practice, simply we can say, wake up to your reality. Wake up to the present moment. Know that your body is seated. Know that you are breathing. Wake up to the walking process. Know that your body is walking. Know that you are eating something. Wake up to whatever the activity that you are doing. So that's the idea we say when it comes to the mindfulness practice. And when you wake up to the reality, when you wake up to the present moment, it is not always pleasant. You can really notice that the present moment is not so pleasant. Sometimes the body is aching, paining. So you get irritations in your body. These irritations, you prefer avoiding them. But when you are present, when you wake up to the present moment, you can feel certain irritations are there in my body. Maybe certain parts are aching, paining, or I have a headache or something. So various things are there. So the irritations come. That's one of the signs that you are mindful. As soon as you wake up to the reality, you feel that the body is irritating. You are not comfortable in the present moment. You are not comfortable in the current posture. So that's one of the signs. Then again, another sign is there. You feel that you notice your mistakes, fault finding. In one's own faults, you are finding. That's another sign, right? As soon as you wake up to the reality, you see that you are not perfect. You are doing a lot of mistakes. So it's natural that you start fault finding in yourself. Then again, there is a third sign or a third symptom. You start to find faults in others. You start to notice, oh, all my family members, they are doing these issues. They have these problems. They are talking too much or they are talking too less. Whatever the faults, you might start finding. Right? So that's another sign or a third symptom of mindfulness. So these things come. You can see all these symptoms, they are not pleasant. Irritations in your body, finding faults in oneself and finding faults in others. So when it comes to this practice, most people, they prefer not doing. Why? Because the reality is not always pleasant. That's the thing. Probably our entire lifetime, we have been following the pain pleasure principle. We have been trying to maximize pleasure. We have been trying to minimize pain. That's what we have been doing, right? So that doesn't align with this practice. When we say mindfulness, when we say wake up to the reality, that doesn't align with your pain pleasure principle. Maybe you have been following entire life. Maybe without even knowing, you are following. You don't know that you are following this principle. You don't know that this is our behavior. But anyway, somehow you are following it. The society tells us to follow. The parents, they teach us to follow. The schools, they teach us to follow. That's what they do. They say if you do this, if you study well, then you can earn. Then you can minimize your pain. You can maximize pleasure. See other people, they are traveling all around the world. They have these luxurious things. So they maximize pleasure. They minimize pain. So that's the promise that has given from by your parents, teachers, or the society. So when it comes to mindfulness or when it comes to meditation, that doesn't align with this pain pleasure principle. That doesn't align with the principle that we have been following our entire life. So most people, they complain. They don't like this practice. Some people, they have a misconception that meditation is some kind of a drug. That's their idea, right? So that also goes with the pain pleasure principle. Most of the people that come to meditate, even to Nisarnavaneya, even to Satipasara, they think that it's some kind of a magical pill or something. As soon as they take it, all the pains, they disappear. And only the pleasure or some kind of a state of high will remain. That's the idea majority have, right? They think meditation is some kind of a drug. Meditation is some kind of a high. Same goes with that, the principle they have been following. They want to get rid of these difficulties. They want to get lost in some drug. They want to get lost in some high state. That's the idea, even when it comes to meditation. But we say mindfulness. We say waking up to the reality. We say don't talk about samadhi, don't talk about concentration, don't talk about drugs. That's another word, a synonym to the concentration or samatha meditation, right? We say be mindful, and as a result, concentration might come. As a result, you might feel that you are comfortable in your body and mind. Due to the concentration, you might feel that the thoughts are subsided. Due to the concentration, you might feel that your body is light. But that is not our practice. That might come as a result. If it comes as a result, it's an added advantage. But if the body is pain in aching, you have to accept it. That's the very practice. If you are uncomfortable, if you are not comfortable in your posture, you have to accept it. If your mind is all over the place, you have to accept it. If your mind is creating all these dark memories, thoughts, you have to accept it. Just observe, just be mindful. That's the advice we are giving. So we say mindfulness, that is our practice. Concentration might come as a result. But that's not the main aim or the goal, right? So that's the practice we are doing. In a way, we say you are not able to maximize pleasure all the time. In a way, we say you are not able to minimize pain all the time. That's what we are saying. We are going against the pain-pleasure principle. But we are not pain-seeking. We are not trying to torture ourselves. That's not what we do. Whatever the difficulties come, you might have to accept them. That is our idea. Right? Then we are not trying to get rid of pleasure. You can live as normal human beings. You can eat and drink. That you need. Right? We are not trying to get rid of those things. We are not trying to get rid of pleasure. We are not trying to seek pain. That's not the practice. Instead, we say you can live as normal human beings. You can eat and drink. You can function. You can work. You can use a vehicle. No issue. That's fine. Right? But in a way, you can't always maximize your pleasure. In a way, you can't always minimize pain. That's what we are doing. Sometimes pain comes. It comes looking for us. When it comes, you might have to accept it. Sometimes there's no pleasure all the time. The pleasure is reduced. When that happens, you have to accept it. So that's what we are doing. In a way, we are saying, probably in an indirect way, through the practice, we are saying that you can't always maximize pleasure. In a way, we are saying you can't always minimize pain. Instead, we say acceptance of this reality, it is important. In a way, you are training yourself to accept the reality. That is what we are doing. Again and again, we are meditating, we are practicing. That practice, when you do, you get better at it. Usually for a newbie, a newcomer, you can't even sit for like 10 minutes. There was this boy, probably like a few months ago, he was complaining that I am young. I'm probably like 35 years old, but I can't sit for 10 minutes. My body becomes really uncomfortable. My body starts aching, paining. My mind is all over the place. So I can't do this practice. That was his complaint. But we have to tell him again and again, you have to practice. Today it's only your first day. Try it tomorrow. Again, 10, 15 minutes, try it tomorrow. Maybe day after tomorrow, you can add few more minutes. Every day, like let's say you add 1 minute to your practice, the sitting practice. So if you practice for a month, you have like 30 minutes of sitting then. If you practice for 2 months, then you can do 1 hour easily. Every day adding 1 minute to your sitting practice. Right? So that way, you have to practice again and again. When you do it, you realize with time, with practice, you become more and more comfortable in your sitting posture. You are able to last longer in your sitting posture. So that you might notice. So it comes as a result of the repetitive practice. In a way, you develop the ability to be with the reality more and more. Sometimes it is pleasurable, sometimes it is painful, but still you have the ability to be with it. So that's the practice that we are doing. That's the ability we are developing. So you can see, in a way, we are expanding our capacity. In a way, we are expanding the capacity of our mind, the capacity to withstand these things, the capacity to withstand the difficulties in our body, the capacity to withstand the status of our mind. So that capacity we are increasing little by little. Day by day, we realize with repetitive practice, we can stay comfortable in our sitting posture. We can comfortably walk for some time. That ability, that capacity, we have increased. So that comes with repetitive practice. So you can see, sometimes pain comes. Sometimes it is pleasurable. So far in our life, we have been avoiding pain and we have been seeking pleasure. But now, with the help of the practice, we are going against that lifelong behavior. Now we are not seeking pleasure. Now we are not avoiding pain. Instead, when it is pleasurable, you accept it. When it is painful, you accept it. That acceptance we are doing, that capacity we are increasing. So you can see with repetitive practice, you are able to be with the present moment. You are able to be with the reality more and more. So that's what we are doing. So some people, they might ask, the pain, is it really reducing? The pleasure, is it really increasing with repetitive practice? That question is a valid question. So what we can say is that actually the pain, it is not reducing. Instead, you increase the capacity to withstand. That's the only change that will happen. Tomorrow, let's say earlier before the practice, you get a sickness, right? Then as a meditator, you get a sickness. Some of you might come and say, earlier when I am sick, I was crying, searching for painkillers, suppressing or rejecting this illness, trying to get better. Entire struggle is there. But now when I am sick, in a way I accept the sickness. I just be with the pain in aching body. I am not always seeking painkillers. I can see my mind is all over the place due to the sickness. All the dark memories, historical things, various things come. Let's say if you are running with a fever, when you have a high fever, you can see the state of your mind. Right? That's a good experiment. You can see all the problems or the fears, they come. Right? So you wonder what is happening. You it's out of your control. Due to this high fever, you can see you probably like entire lifetime worth of fears. They appear. All the incidents that you have been avoiding, they appear. Right? So these things come. And when they come, what is the solution? Can you avoid this? Some people, they say, we have different chantings to get rid of the illness. Bojjhanga. Right? So that idea is there. They want to, you know, do this chanting so the illness will disappear. But the meaning of the chanting is acceptance. That is the meaning that's there. So the chanting, it says, you are sick. Your body is aching, paining. Your mind is all over the place. Just accept it. That is the best healing you can have. Just be with your mind and body. That is the best healing. What else can you do? Can you avoid this with painkillers? Can you do some other chanting to get rid of this illness? That's not how the nature works. Instead, the best healing is you just be with your mind and body. You just accept the present condition. That's what you have to do. So in a way, before you have been fighting all these illnesses, due to the fight, you have created additional friction. But now, with the help of the practice, in a way, we accept. The difficulty is the same, but that additional struggle is not there. So the pain is there, but that suffering part, the added part from your mind, that is not there. So that's the analogy is like second, third, fourth arrows. You get hit by an arrow. That pain is there, you can't avoid. But the second arrow might follow. The third arrow might follow. The fourth arrow might follow. Those are the suffering part. So in a way, the physical pain or the physical illness, it is the same for a practitioner or for a non-practitioner. It is the same. But what's the difference? The difference is that you have increased capacity in your mind. Earlier you have been rejecting these things, suppressing these things. Now you are accepting. That's all you do, right? So for a practitioner, for a non-practitioner, the reality, it's the same. Or the pain, it's the same. Difficulties, it's the same. But in a way, with the help of the practice, we have a different point of view. Instead of rejecting this pain, instead of suppressing it, we say, this is the reality. I have to accept. I have to accept that my body is aching, paining. I have to accept that the condition of my mind is not so pleasant, right? So that acceptance you are developing, that is the very practice. Again and again, you are training yourself. In a way, you are playing a glad game. Like Pollyanna's glad game. Whatever happens, if you look long enough, if you search long enough, you might find something to be glad. Whatever the circumstances are, you can still find something to be glad. That's the very idea of Pollyanna's glad game. An illness comes, but you find something to be glad in this situation. You have to take a day off. You find something to be glad in this situation. A friend, maybe you have a fight with them. Still you find something to be glad in this situation. The things, they didn't work according to your plans. Still you find something to be glad in this situation. You lost something that you valued so much. Still you find something to be glad in this situation. So in a way, you are playing a glad game. But you can see with practice, you become more and more natural accepting these things. Now you don't need much of reasoning. Initially, let's say in the shallow level, the glad game, you do a lot of reasoning in your mind. You try to reason it out. You try to figure out, okay, this is bad. I know this is bad, but can I find something to be glad? That reasoning is there. So that's more like a shallow glad game. But when you practice repetitively, with repetitive practice, you realize now you don't need the reasoning. Now your mind is accepting naturally. That is a much deeper glad game, we can say. The practitioner, although the sorrows, although the pains, they come, they are not fighting it so much. They are not reasoning so much. Instead, they are just open for whatever that comes. That mind is just open for whatever that comes. That is the true practice. And with time, you can really feel it. You can really feel earlier when such things come, there was a huge struggle in my mind. Now, still the struggle is there, but that is not lasting. Maybe within few minutes, the struggle is forgotten. Again, you have to remember and bring back the struggle. Again, within few minutes, the struggle is forgotten. Again, the mind is remembering and bringing back the struggle. So that's the usual behavior of a practitioner's mind. The struggle, still it is there, but it is not, you know, it is not manifested into a huge thing. It is born in your mind. The struggle is born, but within few minutes, it's gone, it's disappeared. Again, it is born as a habit, it's born. Again, within few minutes, few hours, it is disappeared. So you can see the situation you can manage much better because that's not manifested into a huge monster, unbearable difficulty. Instead, it is there, but it's not so troubling. So that's the practitioner's mind. They see that the same experiences they go through. Still, the same feelings come. But they are not monsters. They are not dragons. Instead, some small creature which is harmless. So this way, you practice repetitively. With repetitive practice, in a way, we train our mind to go against this pain-pleasure principle. This pain-pleasure principle, that's what we have been taught. That's what we have been training in our entire lifetime. But now, with the help of the practice, in a way, some might complain that this is brainwashing. Probably true. We are brainwashing. Now even, let's say your interviews, the meditation reports, usually for a newbie, they complain a lot. They say, my body is aching, paining, my mind is all over the place, I can't be mindful due to thoughts, all those reasoning, it's there. But what is the advice that we are giving? If you carefully listen, you realize that although the thoughts are there, you can still be mindful. Although the pain is there, you can still be mindful. Although the difficulties come, you can somehow manage among these difficulties. So that's the advice given. So you can see we are changing their point of view. Earlier, you try to suppress it. Now you are accepting. Earlier, you are fighting. Now you are welcoming it. So that's the practice. That's the training. With repetitive practice, the same pain you are accepting with an open mind. The same illness you are accepting with an open mind. The same difficulty or the problem you are accepting with an open mind. That training you have to do again and again, that's the way to find peace in this world. Otherwise, if you keep following the pain pleasure principle, lot of different various names, mental illnesses are there. Suicide rates are increasing. Drugs, various drugs are there, whatever you call, let it be cocaine, let it be meth, let it be ganja, whatever. Various drugs are there. So that's the pain pleasure principle. But as the practitioners, with the help of the practice, we try to go against this pain pleasure principle. We try to train ourselves in a different way. We try to have a different viewpoint towards these things. So that's the idea, and you have to train yourself. Just listening to my words, it won't be enough. Instead, when you practice, you can experience this for yourself. You can experience earlier when the thoughts come, I suppressed. Now I am accepting with the help of the mindfulness. Earlier when the illnesses come, I try to get rid of them. I used to use a lot of painkillers, but now I am accepting with the help of the mindfulness. Earlier when the problems come, I try to fight them. I try to hate the people who created the problems. But now with the help of the practice, in a way, I am training myself in these problems. I turn inwards when a problem comes. When somebody blames me, I turn inwards to see what is happening in my mind. Am I getting mad? What is the reasoning for getting mad? So that way, you are continuing your practice, and that is the way to find real peace. I won't say happiness, I won't say pleasure. Insert peace in this world. When you let go of the pain, when you let go of the pleasure, the peace prevails. That's the real way. That's the real comfort you can find in this world. So you can see the practitioner, they are not in the extremes. They are not in the pleasure extreme. They are not in the pain extreme. Sometimes they go to those extremes, but it is not lasting. Instead, more and more, they are in the middle. The middle is peace. The middle is neutral. The middle is boring. All those words align. Peace, neutral, boring, whatever you like, you can use, right? So that way, this boredom, if you accept, this neutrality, if you accept, this peace, if you accept, then you realize that's how you can be comfortable in this world. This world is filled with pain and pleasure, but you can find peace in the middle. So that's the idea, and that's what I would say for today. But we have this topic for another week, so we can discuss further. Thank you for listening. And try to experience this in your life through the practice.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and we will look forward to next week's continuation on this same topic. And now we will move on to the question and answer session. I would like to invite Sonali to commence the question and answer session. I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners as usual.
Thank you, Namanta. Thank you, Bhante. We will share with you the first steps for mindfulness, as Nisaramanya has introduced us to useful videos. If you are a beginner or if you need a refresher, mindful walking is the first one and mindful sitting is the next one. Once you watch these videos, you will get an idea of how to start. You can start with any amount of time and work your way up to hopefully an hour a day. Once you have that practice, then you can also add being mindful with a repetitive task during the day as well. And when you have practiced, it would be very helpful if you could share your experience with us, and we will present it to Bhante. There are two ways you can send this to us. One is via the Google form, which is displayed here, and we will be sending all the details in the chat as well. And the other is the email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. We will present these to Bhante and get his guidance. Now let's move on to the reports today. We have received three reports today, one via the Google form and two via email. I will start with the first one. Report one, walking meditation. Walk 25 steps on tiled floor, observing sensations on feet, noting cold on one part, warmer areas of part of floor, the mind's preference for warmer area, the heavy sensation on placing foot, lighter sensation lifting foot, some rough areas and smooth sensations in part of feet noted. The arising of some thoughts, occasional distraction when thoughts proliferated for short period of time, but mind spontaneously coming back to feet. Walk 25 minutes, sounds, sights, not distracting. Then sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Observe sensations of in and out breath at nostril, more prominent on left side. Breath short, equal in length, soon disappearing. Mind not distracted by thoughts, sounds. Breath disappeared, reappeared in cycles. Mind noted to be quiet and calm. Period of mind feeling empty. Unsure is if slept or not for some of this time. Meditated 45 minutes. Mind stayed calm after the session. Mindfulness in day. Noted unusual backache, making it difficult to move in bed or stand up. Observed initial surprise in mind, annoyance and irritation. Then amusement when noting a good reminder of non-self and lack of control of what happened to the body. Decided to watch the process of mind and body related to the ache without treatment as aware. This too would pass. Mind was happy that despite pain could walk, carry on with activities, play badminton, holding back to begin with, still sit across, still cross-legged for meditation, and grateful for this opportunity to observe the process of arising and passing of pain sensations. The changing nature of pain, warmth, severe throbbing, change of position of pain, tightness of muscles, relaxing of other muscle groups, all observed. After 5 days, pain improving, back still stiff, but can move a bit easier in bed. No painkillers have been taken at all. Much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. That's the end of first report, Bhante.
Okay, I don't know how that report came, but we can really relate to today's topic, right? Imagine if you are not practicing, then how much struggle would you do due to this back pain, right? So as soon as the pain appears, your mind starts wandering. No, the back pain is there. I have to go find a doctor. It is increasing. It is worsening. I might die. All those things come, right? So that's how the mind is. But now, with the help of the practice, you are observing it. Your viewpoint has changed. Instead of seeking to avoid this pain, in a way, you're accepting it. Instead of seeking painkillers, in a way, you have mindfulness, right? So if your body is paining, aching, we can use that as an object to be mindful. Because if we are comfortable in our body, then the wandering mind, that is the result, right? When you are too comfortable, either you are sleepy, either you are daydreaming, right? So that's how it is. Now you use this bodily ache, pain as an object to be mindful. Time to time you realize that the complaining is in the background. Thinking about painkillers, it's running in the background. Searching a doctor, it's running in the background. Trying to get rid of this pain, it's running in the background. But with the help of the practice, you realize that you are managing somehow. That doesn't mean we are against doctors. You can, if it is necessary, you can go. But see, with mindfulness, certain things you can manage. You don't have to go so frequently. That's the idea. Now, nowadays, even a headache, people, they are not managing. They want to get rid of it. They want painkillers. Let's say a difficulty, higher pain come, then definitely they go for the medicine. Operation comes. Again, they take the highest grade painkillers. So this is how the world is. More and more people, they don't even bear a headache. So what's the solution when difficulties come? How to bear them? One day a certain thing comes. When that comes, you can't avoid it no more. So most people, they fall into a depression. Most people, they kill themselves. Most people, they try to, you know, kill somebody else who has created this brain. So you can see how we are creating chaos, how we are creating struggles in our own mind. But if you bear it, probably a headache, it will pass within few hours. A fever, it will pass within few days. A back pain, it'll pass within few days. You can see you are better off with this practice. So that's the very idea of our practice. And that's a very good example to today's topic. The back pain is there. There's no change in the back pain. Right? Probably a few years earlier also that the pain was the same. Now the pain is the same, but still the struggle is not there. The fight is not there. That struggle is unbearable. That is the difficult part. Second, third, fourth arrows. That is the struggle. That is the suffering part. That suffering part has reduced considerably. In your own report, you can see how less the suffering part is. Now it is full for your practice. So this is the way of the practice. And when you do it, you realize you are more and more neutral. In your report, in the earlier part, you had various comments about it. Mine comes back to the foot again and again. The thoughts come. Sometimes the thoughts are pleasurable. Sometimes the thoughts are painful, but your mind is appreciating the neutrality more and more. the mind is appreciating the peace more and more. The sensations at your feet, it is neutral. It is not pleasurable, it is not painful. But with the help of the practice, the mind is appreciating this neutrality. Again and again, it is returning naturally as its home. It is returning to this neutrality. That's the idea. That's why you say, although these things come, my mind naturally, quickly return back to the feet, the sensations at your feet. It is neutral. So you can see, in a way, we are getting rid of two extremes. The pain or the pressure, we are getting rid of those two extremes. And more we come back to the middle. That is the neutrality, right? Then what is the next step of the practice? With repetitive practice, when you spend more and more time in this neutrality, you realize your mind goes beyond feeling. Your mind goes beyond feeling. So neutrality, that too isn't there. So that's why you say, probably sleepy, probably awake. You can't figure it out. In your own report, you mention there's a state where you don't know whether you are sleeping or whether you are awake. I don't like that word, sleeping. That's a different matter. Probably unknown would be a much better use of words. When you say sleepy, you know it. You are labeling. When you put the label, sleepy label, then everything else is forgotten, uninvestigated. So probably unknown state would be a better use of words. In this unknown states, you don't know whether you are awake or not. You don't feel whether you are awake or not. So you can see, in a way, we come back to the neutrality more and more. But we are not stopping there. Instead, we go beyond this neutrality. That's the real peace. That's where the real peace lies, right? You have to go beyond the neutrality. When that happens, no feeling is there. No feeling is there. So there's this interesting question in the scriptures. One person comes and asks, now this peace that you are talking about, is it painful? Is it pleasurable? Is it neutral? That's the question. Then the teacher says, it's not painful, it's not pleasurable, it's not neutral. There's no feeling. You go beyond the feeling. That is the real peace. Then the questioner, he was complaining, if there is no feeling, what's the purpose of this? Because you can't feel it. You can't feel it. So the person is asking, what's the purpose then? Then the teacher says, if you feel, then you are still stuck in this struggle. You are still stuck in this never-ending cycle. But if you go beyond the feeling, then you are truly peaceful. So we bring our mind to the neutrality. Initially, as the practice grows, we suggest that you bring your attention to the breath. You bring your attention to the steps. You bring your attention to the person's task. That is the initial training. But if your practice is maturing properly, you realize you go even beyond the neutrality. There's this unknown state is there. You don't know, you don't feel whether you are awake or not. That's the true peace. That's where the true peace lies. You have to go beyond feeling. Right? When you go beyond feeling, it's natural that you get confused. You might label it as sleep. This discussion, the very purpose of this discussion is to tell you that the practice is maturing properly. You have to have confidence in it. Use the proper terms. Don't say sleepy or the sleep. Instead, say unknown condition is there, I don't know whether I am awake or not. That's where the true peace lies. And more you practice, you realize 1 hour of sitting, maybe certain things you remember, certain parts you don't. In a way, time slips. 45 minutes, 1 hour of sitting, it felt like 5 minutes. 1 hour of walking, you come out with nothing remembered. You did the walking, you were mindful, you felt certain things, but nothing to report. What happens? Your mind goes beyond this neutrality and there is no feeling. When there is no feeling, no thinking, no perceptions, nothing is there. So that's the idea. That's how it is progressing. Thank you for sharing your experience today.
Thank you, Bhante. I will quickly move on to the next report as we have one more. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the posture. After a sweeping body scan, the attention moved to the breath, which was prominent, felt around nostrils, although the mind moved to different objects, such as thoughts, bodily sensations, and sometimes to sounds. The primary object of breath was also noted in between. There was no pressure in mind to keep the focus on primary object only. So there was no judgment about mind taking different objects at different times. It was like watching the mind unfold on a screen. Lightness noted in the body and breath had become shorter and more subtle. Noted that the thoughts were mostly of past events, that these passed away at a natural pace, but to not taking an interest in proliferating. This awareness came after the sitting session. Similarly, sounds arose a few times and these too passed away. Continue to notice rise and fall of pins and needles like sensations in palms, fingers, ankles, toes, lips and cheeks. These were there was ease and comfort in body and mind. Sat for 45 minutes. There was much more energy left to continue with the sitting, although due to an upcoming appointment, the alarm was set and so ended the session. After 45 minutes. Mindfulness walking. Walked indoors on carpeted floor, noted how the body felt, weight felt on legs in the standing posture. Walk started at a normal pace and after a while it slightly slowed down. Attention was more on feet, movements, weight shifting, sensations of clothing touching the body. Although eyes were open and sounds heard sometimes, the overall attention was on movements of walking. When thoughts arose, these were of recent past events and they passed away. Mind was content to continue with walking and body seemed to follow. Walked for 35 minutes. Mindfulness during day. There is less need in the mind to protect or fight for own beliefs, views or experimental knowledge. Also noting that the mind is spacious enough to allow others to hold their own beliefs and views. The best example of this was in a weekly Dhamma class last week. The teacher was explaining an elements meditation, Dhatu Namasikara, via method of stillness and concentration, using breath meditation. When a discussion arose, I shared the experience of pins and needles sensation in different parts of the body and noting the sensation of rise, as a wave culminating in a peak of pin prick, and then the sensation of fall as a retention of wave, retreating of the wave before the next wave peaks in a pin prick sensation, and so on. The teacher now asked who my Kamatahan teacher was, and I was feeling pressure to share, although I wasn't sure of the answer. I hesitated. Then I mentioned Bhante Dhammakusala of Nisaranawane, and I also mentioned another eminent monk in Sri Lanka, how their Dhamma talk of practicing Shushka Vipassana is really helping my practice with features of mindfulness and wisdom. Teacher in that class then reacted with, "These are very sensitive experiences you're talking about, the knowledge of rise and fall. See how long a journey you have to travel in the meditation via concentration to get here. you need to find a better teacher. Now referring to an SL monk of the Shushka Vipassana series as not good teacher. Otherwise, you could end up with mental health issues. It felt like I was at the film hall, sitting down comfortably and watching this scene unfold. There was no reaction in the mind, no feeling of I have been wrongly or misunderstood, no agitation or embarrassment. Mind was peaceful. The mindfulness practice is working. When that teacher continued with having to find better teachers, I simply said, okay. That ended the interaction between us. That okay had a dual result. First was to bring energy of peace to the reactive scene, which was external. Second was to protect the confidence in Dhamma, and which is an initial internal experience, and to keep the unhealthy doubt at bay. Couldn't help but feel the humor of this event, but best was to was the ability to hear positive or negative feedback and learn from it without throwing what is already known through experience in the bin. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, that's something interesting. Yes. So that's how you can really function in this world, right? That's the way to function. Now, in your report, you mentioned due to an appointment, you had to end the sitting session earlier, right? Sitting session could end. But I have to ask, is the meditation ending? No, the practice is continuing. So in this latter part of your report, this incident, that too is meditation. Much closer to the formal practice, right? So let's say sitting, walking day to day. As long as we are awake, we are meditating. So when people comes, when you encounter various situations, that too is meditation. So I prefer the latter part of your report, which you mention profound meditation, right? So when we deal with certain people, you have to have this flexibility. If you are rigid, if you are hard, then that's a quality of the dead, right? If you are living, then you are flexible. If you are living, then you are soft. So this quality is very valuable. Let it be a Dhamma discussion. Let it be a discussion at your office. Let it be a discussion with a stranger. Whatever it is, you need this quality. How does it arise? That's the question that we have to ask. It arises from the practice. Now, in your report, you mentioned you have your own confidence in your practice. Although you listen with an open heart, open mind, although you don't go criticize others, you have your own confidence. You have your own grounds for the practice, right? So when you have that confidence, when you have that grounds, then there's no need to fight others. Right? There's no need to fight others. If you have confidence in your own practice, why worry about others? Why worry about their point of view? If you are insecure in your practice, then you worry. If you are insecure in your practice, then you might wonder, is that true? Do I have to find somebody new? All those doubts, questions might come. Right? But if you have that confidence, then no matter what comes, you are not shaken. That doesn't mean that you are closed. That doesn't mean you are closed for new ideas, new ways of looking at them. No, you are not closed. But it takes time for you to accept that change. Sometimes with time, you might realize that this might not be the proper way. There's some other way to do it. That openness is there, but you are not fighting people's opinions. You are not worried about them. You are not insecure. So that's a very valuable quality. That's a very valuable quality. Sometimes we are not perfect. Our practice is not perfect. But that confidence will direct you towards the right direction. That's the idea when it comes to practice. Maybe it's wrong, but do it with confidence. Otherwise, all the time, doubts, questions. Today they are at this monastery, tomorrow they go to some other monastery, day after tomorrow they are in Anuradhapura. So it's a never-ending struggle. Whatever you do, do it with confidence. When you have that confidence, the right practice will come to you eventually. If you are doing something wrong, the nature will tell you that you have to adjust this. So that's the way. That's the way. Remember the story of Angulimala. He is doing something with confidence. Right? Not something good. Not something good. But wholeheartedly he is doing. With confidence he is doing. Right? So initially it's troubling. It's difficult. You know, killing somebody is difficult. Second person, difficult. Third person, difficult. But imagine killing thousands. Then you have your confidence. You don't have to even think about it, right? So he is doing with confidence. He is doing something repetitively. He is doing it with trust. And even the Buddha might come and tell you that this is not the correct path. This is not the correct path. You have to do something else. You have to change yourself, right? So that's the power of the confidence. Otherwise, today he is killing somebody, doubting and going somewhere else, asking whether there's a new way to kill. So those things are there. That's how the world is. So whatever you do, do it with confidence. That doesn't mean you are not open. The nature will tell you, the universe will tell you the correct way. It will show you the correct path. So that you have to do. That's how the practice will mature. Otherwise, all the doubts, questions, that's all that will remain, right? So we do it with confidence. People come and they give their opinions, right? So you shake your head. They don't know whether you're accepting or whether you are rejecting. It's really fun game. You know, a lot of people, they come. Especially for me, due to my duties, I get to meet with a lot of new people. Some of them, they come, you know, doing so many years of meditation, they want to teach others. So they try to teach me. So I listen carefully. Okay, seems like this monk is accepting. But sometimes it doesn't seem like it. It's a struggle. So they wonder whether this person is agreeing or whether this person is disagreeing. There's a doubt created in their mind. Let's say in your report, when you say, okay, did it sound that like you accepted? I don't think so. Even he knew he had that doubt in his mind. He knew this person is not shaken, right? Although it ended the discussion, it didn't sound that like you accepted, right? So that's the way. We shake our heads sometimes saying, yo, yes or no, you don't know, right? Sometimes people feel like we agree. Sometimes they feel like we disagree. So that flexibility, that's the real practice, right? You are not shaken. You are not shaken. People come, you are not a closed box. They give their opinion. They wonder whether you'll agree. They wait for some time. They wonder whether you'll disagree. They wait for some time. They can't get a real feedback. They can't get a real output. Then they go finding some other person. Because this person, no point. No point. Whatever you say, no point. Not shaken. That's how you can really deal with this world. That's a really very valuable quality. Right? You shake your head. Feels like you accepted, but probably not. That's the way towards the practice. Even becoming a monk, when I think about my past life, sometimes there were struggles, you know. Don't do this. That was the idea. This is not something for a young person. This is not something for you, right? The family members, various people, they come and they give you their opinion, right? So sometimes they feel like they have won. Okay, now the idea is not there. Now he is not trying to become a monk. Seems like he is moving the usual worldly way. But within 3 weeks, they again realize, now again moving towards the same direction. Directly, openly, not saying, but still feels like again moving in the same direction. Again, they come and fight. And again, after a few weeks, they feel like, seems like going in the same direction. So there's this real nice story in a book, right? They are traveling through a forest. They travel towards the northern star, right? Sometimes due to disturbances in the path, obstacles in the path, they have to change direction. Let's say there is quicksand in a certain area. So they are avoiding that area. Maybe there are mountains in certain areas. They are avoiding that area. So feels like they have changed their direction. Now they are traveling in some other direction. But eventually, within few days, within few weeks, again they are back to their usual direction, back to their usual course. Right? So they say, temporary you might feel like you have changed. Due to an obstacle, you have changed. But again, eventually you are back to your original route. You know where you are traveling. You have confidence in your travel. That's the true practice. That confidence is developed only through experiencing. Otherwise, no amount of Dhamma talk, no amount of discussions can give you that confidence. Discussions might help, but you have to practice. When you practice, you have confidence in your own practice. You know what you're experiencing. Then only you are not shaken. Then only you are not insecure. So that's the proper way. Continue your practice and the nature will show you the correct path.
Thank you, Bhante. Because of the time, I will move on quickly to the last quite short report. Mindful living. Dear Venerable Bhante. Sorry? No,
today the reports are time consuming. That's the thing.
Yes, Bhante. So it's a short one, so I will quickly present that. Mindful living. Dear Venerable Bhante. Today was the first day back at school. As a result of regular practice for a few years now, I have enjoyed being relaxed and laid back with work tasks, perhaps far too relaxed. When I arrived at the school this morning, the classroom was in a state. I observed carefully how stress was building up in the body, and with careful observation of subtle sensations in the body, I was able to relax the body. Now this has become habitual practice in stressful situations. Observed both negative and positive thoughts carefully when a colleague was swearing. A few years back, I really found it hard to work when people were making a lot of noise around me. But mine was silent for periods of time, even the shouting in the background, which was great. Looking forward to putting the practice into effect when kids start next week. Bhante, I have only been doing sitting practice when I feel aches and pains in the body, but have continued with more walking practice. I want to experiment if I can generate the mindful energy with no additional sitting or walking practice. But I really don't know if this is a wise move. Please advise. Much merit. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, so maybe you are in a quiet place. Maybe you are in a forest. Maybe you are in a retreat. But again, you have to go back to the reality. You have to go back to the world. That happens, right? You have to go back to your life, right? So that happens. So when that happens, most people think that this is a disturbance for my meditation. But truly, it is helping in a way to verify whether your practice works, whether your practice is true. You can verify when you go out to the world, when you go out to the classrooms, when you go out to a market. So that's why even for a monk, the Buddha says, go to the village. When you go to the village, then only you'll see whether your practice is true. Right? So when you go on Pindapatha, the dogs chase you, right? Then only you will see whether the practice is true. Where you will encounter with, you know, various people, sometimes lust, sometimes anger arises in you. Then only you will realize whether the practice is true. Again, come back to the forest. In the afternoon, come back to the forest. Do your meditation. Tomorrow also, you might go and see how the practice is. So these two parts you have to have. In a way, you are meditating. In a way, you are going out to the world, right? With repetitive practice, you realize you become much more comfortable in the outside world. Outside world, you are much more comfortable. Now it feels like you can manage. So that confidence will develop. Then it comes to the latter part of your question. Sometimes that experiment is valid, right? Now you are without any formal practice. Can you manage your day-to-day life? Can you manage your day-to-day mindfulness? So remember, when we talk about formal practice, we analyzed it. We gave the analogy of going to a gym. What is the purpose of the going to a gym? You are strengthening your muscles. Why are you strengthening your muscles? You are strengthening, preparing for a great game, preparing for an activity. So the real purpose of the practice is to be mindful as long as you are awake. Real purpose of the practice is to be in the world without getting dragged away. Right? So that's the idea. And formal practice, it is supporting that purpose. So when you are at this level, you might wonder, can I manage without formal practice? Right? So that question is valid. That experiment is valid. Right? So you have to figure it out. Sometimes you might feel that your strength is not enough. You are worn off. Then again, you can come back and spend few hours of formal practice. Right? Sometimes you find that at least I need like 1 hour of formal practice to manage my life. 1 hour of sitting or like 1 hour of walking I need. Right? So that way, gradually, you are experimenting. That experiment is valid. If you can manage, then no need to do the formal meditation. But if you can't manage, what's the solution? Then again, come back and do some time. Again, go. You have to find the optimum level. I'm assuring you, with time, you can really minimize the number of formal practice hours. You can really minimize it. Without it, you can manage if you have the proper strength. Otherwise, we'll say that without formal practice, we can't survive. Your experiment is valid. You can do it. But if it doesn't work, you know what to do. Again, you come back to the gym. Again, you come back home and strengthen yourself. Again, you can go and go do the fighting. Again, you feel that your energy is drained. You don't have enough energy. Then again, come back to the formal practice. This way, you have to experiment. I'm saying it's a valid experiment. The answer you have to find. Nobody else can find the answer for you. You are the person who can find the answer. So it's a valid experiment. Try and do it. And that's the proper idea. The formal practice, the idea is to go and be mindful in your day, in your day-to-day life. Meditate as long as you are awake. That's the idea, right? In order to support that, we do the formal practice. So try and experiment, and you can give a feedback to us. Even it will be important for the audience So this is a valid experiment. If you can do.
Thank you, Vante. We didn't hear the last couple of words, but I'm sure you we heard the rest of it. Yeah, we don't unfortunately have time for questions today. We have gone quite over, so I will move on to handing over to Namantha. And thank you to all the report writers today as well.
Thank you, Sonali, and much best to you, and also much best to Bhante. And thank you, Bhante, for such a wonderful insight again today. And we will move on to close today's session with the ending of the Q&A session. We would like to pass on Mr. General Bhante for taking the time out and for Bhante's dedication to today's session, as usual. And we wish that these minutes will have a positive impact on Bhante's own practice into the future. Plus, we would also like to pass on merits to the Chief Abbot of the Nisarnamana Forest Monastery, Most Honorable Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for requesting this program to be realized in this manner. And then we would also like to pass on merits to all the wonderful organizers who work behind the scenes to keep the program running in this way. So the program is also held for the benefit of those who are joining. So you provide the justification for the program to remain and continue like this. So we would like to pass on merits to all of those of you who are attending the Zoom session and the Facebook live stream. And we hope that you will be able to continuously join the program and keep improving your mindfulness practice in this way. And that eventually you will develop firm confidence in your own self through these practices. So I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead and hope that you are able to practice and further your development on this path. And we will meet you next Saturday at the same time with a similar session on mindfulness topics. Till then, I will close the Zoom session. Thank you. Bye.